Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter. I'm here with Pastor Carolyn Porter. Hello, Pastor Carolyn Porter.
And good evening to you, Sister Amber.
How are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Doing nicely. Thank you.
You. Great, great. I'm well. Thank you very, very much. Are you ready for the holidays?
I'm working on getting ready. I'm trying to be.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there too. I'm quite busy with you got some holiday music going on with you in the background.
Yes, I do. It's the clock.
I'm waiting, working on getting there, but I have this weekend, as you well know, we have our fireside chat retreat it's in Quarryville, Pennsylvania, and so I'm working hard preparing for that, and got a little extra task from my wonderful friend Jocelyn, who's busy with her mom. So I'm making s'more kits and helping get things going. But it's fun, so I like to do little things to keep my hands busy. So we were supposed to be on last week. And no fault of ours, technical difficulties, we didn't get on. But I did promise our listeners the week before that we would get those holiday questions answered because they needed your wisdom on how to handle these holidays coming up. So we're going to get those questions out to you and let you answer them. And they are holiday questions. Most of them are kind of serious, but, you know, we're going to enjoy answering them and do it in the holiday spirit as well. Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so tell me, do you want to go heavy first or light?
Let's wade in the water. Let's start light and ease on in.
All right.
To the deeper things.
All right. Okay, here's a good one. It says, I often have this question too. My grandparents were at work. And here we go. What gift do you recommend giving my mother who has everything?
I would say, no, gift cards are not universal. Some way that's the best way to go for someone who has everything. It allows them to feel that you thought about them, that you didn't forget, you remembered to get something and put aside for them. That gives them the option and choice of selecting what they would like to have, the exact size and color and where they want to spend it at. Okay, so I think the best thing to do is either call cash. And, you know, Benjamin Franklin represents a wonderful size and color, and it always fits, don't you think?
I think so, but I'm now going to turn this on you. Is that what you want your kids to give you for Christmas?
Well, personally, again, Benjamin is always the right size and color. It always fits. However, I do personally enjoy wrapping and unwrapping packages and gifts during the holidays and during birthdays and Mother's Day and any occasion that comes around. But again, everybody's not like me. But I just think sometimes the need, and it may be unexpressed to others, can be met through cash in a card or with a gift card.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. What about those people who say, I don't want to give them cash or a gift card because they're going to spend it on something else. They're not going to spend it on themselves. And I know a lot of people have issues with that, giving people gift cards and giving them cash because they're either going to spend it on their sibling or their child, and they're not going to spend it on themselves. And I think if I give you a gift, I want you to spend it on you. Don't take it and spend it on something. Like, buy something for yourself that's memorable, something you really want.
Having said that, I am inclined to agree with you. But again, sometimes the need is so great, and maybe it, again, it's unexpressed, that it just works for them. Let me just say this too. I don't think it's impersonal, and I think that you want the person to be pleased and happy with the gift you give. And if giving them allows them to do something that makes them happy or pleases them, like giving someone else a gift or helping somebody else out or whatever, once it's in their hand, it's their business, it's their choice. And very often it's their joy to give or to send to someone else.
Yeah, I guess I can kind of see that too. But then again, I think I would be on the other side a little bit more annoyed if you took what I gave you, even though I gave it to you and it's yours, and you're
yes,
all
yes.
spending it on your child or not buying anything. I'm giving it to you for you to enjoy, but I get it.
Well, then, you know, there's always just saying mom or a friend or a husband, what do you really want? And let them tell you.
That's true, too. Good one. You got me on that one. Okay. Well, let's go on. let's do this one. This is not as easy, but it's kind of something to consider. Okay. She says, it's the holiday season. I have two children. One has had no behavior problems at all. The other son has been in so much trouble at school, at home, at church, anywhere he goes, he gets in trouble. Now that it's the holiday season, he expects gifts and games under the tree. I don't want him to think that I am rewarding bad behavior, and my other son has exhibited perfect behavior that warrants gifts. Do I teach my son the gift of giving just as God did giving his son when we didn't deserve it and give my misbehaved son the gifts he wants? Or do I give him a brush and a pair of socks from the Dollar Tree and call it a day?
I think the good son should receive whatever you choose to give him. I think that the son that has the behavioral problem may benefit if the parent is creative in what he or she designed for him. For an example, maybe he would best be served if he were given tickets to, I want to say a place where he can go exercise, where he could be with someone that's going to counsel him. He may need a big brother, so you might introduce him to give him a gift card that allows him to be in a setting surrounded by positive men or positive women. You follow what I'm saying? You may have to put him in a totally different surrounding that's going to address his behavior, yet it comes in the form of a gift. I think that also the parent can look at whatever the child may need. He may need some additional support, a better support system than she or he can, the parents can offer. So we may need, like I'm saying, shift him into something that gives him behavioral support, mental support, emotional support. Also, he may need some new underwear because they may be too tight, and that's what causing him to cut up. You know, so we're going to give him a larger size and tell him this is why you're getting this, because I suspect you need a little more room. You understand? But if he needs a sweater, if he needs a coat, or he needs boots or sneakers, I certainly think for the wintertime and during the holiday, it's okay to give him that type of thing. But I think you may have to be creative in some other observing and determined, discerning what else he needs that might be of help, aid, and assistance with his problems and issues.
So you're saying skip the game. No games.
Yeah, I wouldn't give him any games. No, not unless the game is designed, you know, to help him in discerning what's going on with him, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really know any game like that. So I hope that helps, because I know. So then, in other words, you're saying the gifts would reinforce negative behavior, or could possibly do that.
What could possibly do it? Are you asking me, or are you saying?
Yes, I'm asking you. Is that what you're inferring?
Yes. It may be a matter of putting him in, I'll just say, what's it called, a youth challenge,
mm-hmm.
something like that, getting involved in some of the programs that they have. There are places and programs for children who have issues, whether it's mentally, emotional. He may need to be a part of that. And along with that, they may include, that particular program will include them going to, I'll say, hockey games, basketball games, or something, or it may engage them in physical activities that teach them anger management or something of that nature and help them really get acquainted, get in touch with who they are.
I don't know how you do that for Christmas, but okay.
You give them a gift certificate that says, this is where you're going, boo. This is your Christmas present. This is to help you. You know how your parent, not your parent, but how parents will spank a child, this is years ago, and they would say, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right.
And you're sitting there with your hiney stinging, and they sitting there with the belt in their hand, okay, that type thing. I'm going to do this because it helps you. You may have to register them in. Let's take an example. If a child is overweight, you may register them in Weight Watchers. You understand? That's going to help them and reinforce their bad eating habits.
For Christmas, though.
You have to take advantage of what's there to take advantage of.
Okay.
And that allows the child to see, my mom was really serious about this. Yeah, I am.
Well, I guess you do want to reinforce that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was just an example.
Right. Okay. So now we're getting into the serious questions. These are questions that people want it answered. Okay. It says, every holiday season, my husband and I have conflict deciding where we will spend the holidays. I want to go to my mom, and he wants to go to his mom. We tried the split thing, stopping past his mom's and then to my mom last year. It didn't work. By the time we got to my mom, everyone had almost gone, and I missed all the excitement. I missed the opening of the gifts, and the food was wrapped up and put away. The best time was spent with his family, and he was in no rush to leave them. He thought I should have been as happy as he was. After all, we had gotten to both houses. I was so mad in that car that night. Please tell me how we can amicably spend quality time with both our families this Christmas.
The answer that I would say is one word, compromise. Somewhere along the line, a compromise must be put in place, and it needs to be agreed upon July 4th, September, Labor Day. You can't wait to write up the week before Christmas or whatever the major holiday to do that. Now, one way of handling that would be don't go to anybody's house Christmas. Do Christmas home and invite them to come to your home.
But what happens if it's our family, Celia, your sister does the Thanksgiving and you do the Christmas. That's not anything that you can break up just like it's traditional. How do you handle that?
Again, it's highly possible to, like I said, compromise, make your agreement early on, 6-8 months before time, and not immediately after Christmas when hurt feelings are still in tow. And maybe that may be the compromise that we'll do one set of parents Thanksgiving and we'll do the other set Christmas, or we'll do one set Christmas Eve and the next set the next day, or we'll do Christmas today here and Christmas the day after Christmas. You just have to compromise. It has to be worked out. Or, like I said initially, plan to have Christmas dinner or whatever the holiday at your home and invite each one to come over. My mom can come in the morning, and grandmom can come in the evening, or they can all do an open house all day long. Everybody can come and go, opening and unwrapping gifts in each other's presence.
Okay.
Until somebody says, or either, you know, speak to the ladies. Usually they're the ones that govern how holidays go. Your mother and his mother, you know, speak to them. Take them out. Like I said, July 4th, 3rd of May, when there's no holiday dinner being planned, a Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner being planned, and tell them, I love you. I've had a wonderful time. I want to be with both of you. How can we resolve this?
Okay.
And everybody has input and part of the decision maker of how to best do this. That's my answer.
That's a good answer. Involved the mothers, the older,
yes,
older family members. That might work.
Or ask mom, aren't you tired of cooking? Yes, I am. You know, but the other mother, you know, let's all go to one mother's house, and next year we'll all go to the other mother's house. It's workable. You don't have to be at an impasse. It is workable.
Okay. I'm glad you talked about cooking because here's a question for that. My mother-in-law has finally let go of the reins. I am hosting Christmas dinner this year. However, she wants me to follow her recipe and cook like she does. The problem, some of her dishes she brags about are just plain nasty. From what I understand, she is coming over to watch me cook her dishes, so as to not mess up the recipe. I love my mother-in-law, and I don't want to hurt her feelings, but I do not want her hanging over my shoulder in my kitchen. How do I tell her I do not want to use her recipe to serve my guests that food?
I think a good compromise might be to determine what her recipe, or rather what her menu would be.
Okay.
So she says, I want macaroni and cheese, I want lasagna, I want baked ziti, or whatever. If those are the recipes that, or the menus that she chooses, you choose one that's her choice and one that's your choice. It all boils down to compromise. Well, you can tell her, my mom, I need you to come over about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you start your cooking at 12. By the time she gets there at 3, oh, mama, did I say 3 o'clock? I've gotten everything in the oven. I've gotten everything already prepared. And you just give her a task to do, like set the table, the way she wants the table set. But at some point in time, seriously, you have to establish that it is your home, and it is your dinner, and you want to make her comfortable. And that's what you have to do. Sometimes you have to flatter elderly people or older people They have their way of doing things. They, Mama, taste this. Well, I always put cinnamon. Let's try it with nutmeg. You know, try it. If she insists on coming and being there, then you just have to re-indoctrinate her your way.
Yeah, how does that work? So, okay, so what if you try that and then she doesn't take it very nicely? So it ends up being not the best situation. She's complaining to her husband and she's feeling hurt, and then he's not so happy because he's stuck in the middle. He feels like, I'm still in. What do you do then?
Again, the choice that I see is to let her know up front, I don't want you to worry about a thing. I understand this and this and this is what you always serve on your menu, and I've got it. I'm going to prepare it, and then you can tell me what you would like to add to it. You've got to establish some bounds. She can't boundaries. She can't just walk in the house, like you said, stand over your shoulder and dictate. You've got to take the reins and handle your business. Hurt feelings, if you just hug her and love her, if that's the kind of mother you have, pat on and rub her, and when you get finished, you put the dish on the table the way you want it to be.
And address the husband. How do you deal with him feeling like you hurt his mom's feelings or he's stuck in the middle?
Assure him he's not. Or another remedy would be, another answer option, I should say, would be to start your cooking, do your preparation, and have him come in the kitchen. Peel these potatoes, peel the onion. Is that how your mother, I want you to do it just like your mother does it. Dice them, right? Is that how your mother does it? Okay. You rinse the pasta in cold, hot water. That's how your mother does it. And when mommy gets there, we say, oh, mom, sit there. I want you to enjoy. I hope you enjoy this because, you know, your wonderful son was in that kitchen and he had me doing it just like you do it. Compliment her through her son.
Oh.
Or I asked him how you did it and he said he didn't remember. He didn't know. Put it on him. Take it off you.
Okay.
But in the end, you cooked the meal. You want that meal cooked in your kitchen if you think it's that good. Or cook yours and cook hers. I personally like my ribs cooked with sauce on it, barbecue sauce. I want it cooked in barbecue sauce. You like yours without the barbecue sauce.
I sure do.
Okay. So the compromise is, I cook one pan with barbecue sauce and one pan without it. That's an option. She likes it with sharp cheese. I like it with mild cheese. We got one pan with mild, one pan with sharp. There is a compromise. Or she want to come over and do her, bring yours, Mom, bring yours right on over and sit right there and fix it while you fix yours. I'm going to fix mine. And at the end of the day, when you go home, Mom, take yours with you, and mine will stay right here. Oh, there is compromise. There's a way to compromise. And you don't have to be ugly. You
right.
Don't have to be offensive. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hope these answers are helping. I just know with me and you, I don't think I would have too much of a big problem of a problem at all if you stand over top of my shoulder offering to cook.
You might have a problem because that's not what I want to do anymore. Go ahead, cook it the way you want to cook. Pass me the barbecue sauce. I'll add mine at the table. There's a compromise. There is a way.
Exactly. I would not have a problem because you would not be trying to cook anything.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I hope that answer helps. And then with my last question, which is, it's kind of sad, and I kind of tried to save it for the end. Yeah. The lady said, I recently lost a child.
I have two other children. I don't feel like celebrating the holidays, but I don't want to make it miserable for my other two children. I don't want them to forget about their siblings. How can I keep it joyous for the whole family? Should I honor the life of the other child during the holidays, or will that make it somber and sad for the other children? I just don't want them to forget about their deceased brother.
Mm-hmm. I recently went through an affair that was supposed to be joyous and happy, and one of the very, very strong, one of the officers, I'm going to say, that was part of this ministry, everything was going along well until the family came in of the deceased officer. And then everybody got up and wanted to give honor to the person who is no longer with us. Mm-hmm. And in a matter of 5 minutes, the whole environment, the ambiance, the atmosphere in the room had shifted from, you know, joy to the world, shall we say, to a memorial service.
Right.
It really was. And it was just such a downer. And yet what they said was good and fine, and you understand. So I sat there looking at this, observing the family. Next thing you know, they were crying, and that wasn't the occasion, and that wasn't the reason why we were there. And so I'm saying that during this holiday season, no, you don't want to forget the loved ones, and you can make mention of them and say something good about them. And last Christmas, they did thus and so, or whatever we enjoyed. But we know, providing they're born again, that we know that they're in the presence of the Lord, and we rejoice in that fact. Somebody say, thank the Lord, and they can say, thank the Lord. Let's sing their favorite song, Joy to the World. When that's over, move on for the rest of the festivities for the holiday. That's my answer to that. Don't dwell. You don't have to acknowledge them any way you want to, with a picture or whatever, but don't make it. If you don't want it to be a downer, don't make it a downer, and don't allow anybody else to come in and do that.
Okay. I'm just rehearsing, reading the question to make sure you
covered all the bases.
Yeah, how can I keep it joyous for the whole family?
To acknowledge them. Don't have to create a memorial service or a memorial for them. You don't have to do that. They live their life, and we love them while they were here. And this is the time, as we often say at funerals, to cherish their memories. We don't have to memorialize their memory at a festive occasion.
Okay. Well, I believe I have covered all the questions but one, which is my personal question. And I almost can go with the other person the first question you answered. What is it do you want for Christmas, since you have everything? I put you in the spot.
I want to have my family and my friends come in, and I want to have a wonderful, joyous Christmas Day dinner with family and friends. But most of all, I want us to remember that we're really celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior. I want that to be remembered. And all of the hustling and bustling, it's about the birth of our Savior. That's
so if you
want.
Don't have any gifts underneath.
Oh, I didn't say that now. No, I didn't say that. That ain't what I said.
Yes,
I want to have some gifts under the tree, wrapped, gift bagged, boxed.
Okay, well, we'll work on that. Thank you all for listening to our show. I hope we answered the question that you wanted to answer. Thank you, Pastor C, and until next week.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Enjoy your moment. Find your moment and enjoy it. Have a good night. Bye.